Welcome to episode 2 of the Mission Driven Show. I'm Elad Cohen, the co-founder of Sapia and the co-host of the Mission Driven Show. And with me today are my co-founders and co-hosts, Sharon and Amir. Hey guys.
Hi everyone.
Hi. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's fantastic pack day. In the last episode, we talked about, if you remember, sustainability, right? That was the big topic. And we talked about companies like Oatly, companies like Tesla. We talked about what does it mean for them to be sustainable. Even I think Allbirds and Patagonia were mentioned. We realized during the conversation that part of being sustainable is connected with their mission. And we define them as mission-driven organizations. Not only we define them, also Blackstone that invested $200 million into Oatly. Now, this begs the question, and we're going to talk about it today. What does it mean to be a mission-driven company? Why does it matter? What does it mean for the future of these companies, of the employees of these companies, and for all of mankind? So the first question that we should tackle today, I think, is, first of all, what is mission-driven? Why does it matter?
Yeah, so I'll try to reference that question because I think that if you go online and search for mission-driven, you'll see a lot of different definitions. None of them is very clear, and each one of them takes that to a different direction. And I'll try to make some sense, at least from my point of view, what is a mission-driven company. So maybe just one step before we explain the mission-driven, let's talk about the opposite or the other side of the scale. If we have mission-driven, what's the other part of that? What's the other side of that?
Interesting question.
The answer is quite simple. It's actually profit-driven. That's the basic of business. If you go into Wikipedia, search for the word business, the first sentence you will read is, business is the activity of making one's living or making money. And it continues on. So that's the purpose of business. When people back then thought about that idea, that was how they defined that activity of making money. And in the past decades or so, we saw different approaches for a business. Instead of being driven by profit, we saw companies starting to be driven by product or users to try to increase the value they bring to them. And that is for maybe a different discussion. So if the plain definition of a business is to be a profit driven, what is a mission driven and what's the difference between them? So let's dive into the mission driven definition. It's actually, again, if you go to Wikipedia, this is our Bible for a source of knowledge. You will actually see that mission driven came from the marketing industry. Somewhere in the 90s, where the marketing people sat down together and said, all right, we need to market the nonprofit sector. How do we do that? So nonprofit can be maybe healthcare, can be maybe philanthropy, and so on and so forth. And the answer they had in mind is, all right, we need to create the marketing strategy for the mission from the mission of that organization. It might be poverty, it might be saving lives in Africa or what have you. So that was a marketing strategy. That's how it started. What we saw later on, and I think it's you can relate that to the past 20 years or so, is that more companies started to look at that from a different angle. It's not only a marketing strategy, it's actually a business strategy. So again, if we talk about the profit-driven companies, this is the basic strategy of a business, people started to think about that from a different point of view, the mission-driven strategy. And a mission-driven strategy is, the way I see that, is that you define a statement, and we are not going to get into the definition of a mission statement in this podcast, maybe later on, but you define that statement and everything that you do during the day, all the decisions that you make, the way you communicate, the way you build your products, everything goes down from that point of view. So let's just take like the most common example in the book. So if you don't know, Google's mission in very high level terms is to basically make everything searchable. This is what they're trying to do. So we as human beings can go online, can search things and just find them. And then there is this very simple use case. Imagine that someone goes into Google product team and tell them that he has an idea. The idea is either to build a Google food truck, which are those trucks that drives around and sell food for people, or you would buy, you would build a food truck tracker. And this is an app that you can imagine maybe that tracks food trucks around you. So I think it's very easy to answer that question. Everybody can answer that. Google will probably build the tracker. And the reason for that is that their mission is to make everything searchable.
Yeah, I think a Google example is good, but there are, let's take it to a different angle, consumer goods. I think when you look at consumer goods, it's a little bit different. You can feel it in a way. And one of the greatest examples of our time, I will say, is Patagonia. Because when you enter Patagonia website, it's all about their mission. And in their homepage, you will not even see products, which is quite remarkable. There was election in US lately, and the headline, the hero line was just go vote now. And remember, this is a clothing company, and they're asking people to vote. And for them, if you look at their advertisements, it's about climate crisis, that we're going to die, basically, and we need to do something together. So their mission is to save the world. This is their mission. And you can see it everywhere. It's not a marketing tactic or even a business strategy. This is why they exist. So when you buy Patagonia, you join this club. You can feel it. You can see it in every touch point, from the supply chain to the materials to their ad, to their Instagram, website. Everything is about, we're going to save the world. Now, probably you know their biggest competitor, it's North Face. If you go to North Face, it's about products. Although in their Instagram, we are here to make the world a better place or something like that. They also have a mission, but you don't feel it as a consumer. It's not your club. You don't see it in most of the touch points. And they obviously selling products, but they have a mission. Now, this example, I think it's huge because they're both selling the same type of products. Quality is high. But in the end, there is some kind of a signaling. This is why we exist. That's why we build this company. When you buy our shirt, you save the world. And you can relate. They tell stories about it. They ask people to vote. They had this kind of campaign lately, vote the assholes out, which means, you know, your power as a consumer is to vote people who don't believe the climate crisis. And that's huge. So exactly what Amir said, mission-driven, basically, it's not a statement, it's a North Star that you can feel it as a consumer, and every decision is being taken in the company is resonate or relate to the mission.
Yeah, I think that, you know, on that, you just touched on something really important. There is a clear, or should be a clear distinction between mission statement and mission driven. We work in tech, right? We worked in Israel, we worked in Europe, and we also had a short stint in Silicon Valley. So every company you go to, they open the door, you see a mission statement on the wall, or you see it on their website. And when you talk to people about it, they say, hey, of course, we have a mission. It's all about the mission. But I think it's, in most cases, lip service. And what do I mean by that? They have a mission, but this mission is like very tactical. It's like, we want to be the number one company in California. We want to have 40% of this market. We want to be the number one choice for consumers who love blah, blah, blah. And although it's great that they have a certain goal or strategic purpose. This is not what we're talking about here. So if I unpack the example with Google and the example that Sharon gave with Patagonia and Nike, and all those stories about Tesla, Allbirds, it's something deeper. It's a mission that is bigger than you, bigger than the organization. And that's why it's the North Star, because it's outside of this planet. It's guiding you when everything is dark, when you don't know what to do. This is where you can look and say, okay, it's clear to me. I'm not about making a car. I'm not about selling a piece of clothing. I'm about making this planet better, for example.
Yeah, and which leads to the next question, because I guess some of the people who listen to this podcast say, yeah, you know, okay, this is obvious stuff. Although most of the companies are not mission-driven, they have mission statement, maybe a vision, some values. You don't feel it as an employee. You don't feel it as a consumer or a partner or investor. It's just, you know, we need to have this because everybody's doing that. So the next question is, why mission-driven? What's the magic? Why should I care about being a mission-driven? And I want to unpack it a little bit. If you look at it from the human point of view, because in the end, business is human. It's humans connecting with humans, other humans. And there is a great book. It's called Drive by Daniel Pink. And the whole book notion is that there is a, in the past, in the Industrial Revolution, money and external motivation was were the focal point to move people, to gather them, to help them to understand where are we going, materialistic view. And more research is being gathered that this is not the right way to motivate people. And the right way is intrinsic motivation, something that you are deeply connected. And there is a really good quote, short one from the book. It's in our nature to seek purpose. And I think that's very strong, because if you really understand humans, since the dawn of our history, we are seeking for meaning, to explain phenomena, to explain life. Why are we here? What is the meaning of being alive? And if you neglect this kind of idea, how people operate, and we are basically operates from a feeling point of view. That's what moves us, as not logic. And that's backed by a lot of research. One of the best books, I think, is Think Fast, Think Slow. So we are not logical beings. We operate from the feeling. And purpose is one of the greatest tools, or the greatest tool of all time to motivate people. That's religion. That's politics. That's states. History. It's about where are we going? Why? Who we are? This is like the tribe, because we cannot survive alone. So we are seeking for meaning always. We are seeking to belong to a certain group. Cult, it's the same. So if you look at Oatly as an example, they are saying we are a cult. We are here to change the status quo. We believe that you don't need to drink milk. We believe in a sustainable world. We need to save the planet. That's why you buy our products. And now we can sell you different stuff, because this is our tribe. So the motivation becomes intrinsic. Now, if you think about it, this is what motivates people. It's easier when you have a mission-driven company to attract talent, money, resources, customers, because it's based on feeling. And that's why Blackstone invest in Oatly, because they said they are a mission-driven company. It's easier for them to differentiate. It's easier for them to build a positioning in the market that more and more customers want to take part of it, of their mission, of their feeling and belonging. So I think the new understanding of what motivates us in the knowledge era, when everything is possible, basically, almost everything, is we are seeking for belonging. We are seeking for meaning, and that's mission driven. While mission statement is just something that you wrote in the beginning of the company, and now you have different motivations and trajectories in the companies. The bottom line is very obvious. If you look at it, and that's what Blackstone said, the future is mission-driven companies is going to solve the biggest problems, and one of them is sustainability. Why? Because that's going to worth a lot of money. That's going to attract a lot of resources, talent, money, customers, market attention, because it's based on the problem of the hour, and it's based on how we operate as humans. So you can see how and why mission-driven companies can be more profitable. They can win the buyer's mind. They can motivate employees through hard time, through good times. They can sell different things because it's about the belonging. And that's the mistake I believe most of founders and investors are doing. It's product-based or transaction-based. It's really hard to build an iconic company and win the market with something so temporal.
I love that. I want to take it to another level. And this is something interesting I found a few days ago. I did research before we recorded this conversation, and I found a letter from BlackRock CEO and chairman, Larry Fink. And he wrote it 2 years ago. It's the annual letter that he sends to CEOs. I'll just read two sentences from it, or three. So he says, "We also see many governments failing to prepare for the future on issues ranging from retirement and infrastructure to automation and worker retaining. As a result, society increasingly is turning to the private sector and asking that companies respond to broader societal challenges." And then he goes on to say this final sentence: "Society is demanding that companies, both public and private, serve a social purpose. To prosper over time, every company must not only deliver financial performance, but also show how it makes a positive contribution to society." Now, this is huge. And I love it because it's a sort of a different approach than what the maximize shareholder value approach from Milton Friedman from the 70s used to say. And it relates also to the situation that we live in today. He wrote it 2 years ago. Now we're in a global pandemic. We see clearly the impacts of the climate. We see all the damage that we've done as humanity. We also see the future growth of the population. We can calculate it. We know that we're going to end up in a situation where living here is going to be unsustainable, and there's going to be a lot of mess, a lot of issues around the climate. So it's sort of like time. It's the time of the hour, right? It's like the hour of need. We need to rethink how we do business. Amir, what do you think about it?
Yeah, so I just want to add my perspective on that, because the question of why is very important, assuming that we understand that what is it and how does it look. And the next question is, why do we need to do that? Why not to chase profits? What's the problem with that? And as both of you kind of said in a different words, I believe there are three things. First of all is purpose. And I don't need to explain why purpose is important for a human being. This is beyond me. It's a fact. And the second one is resilience, actually. This is something that you see a lot in the literature, that people talk about once an organization is driven by a mission and not a product or a profit, it's much more resilient. And it's kind of confusing. Why is that? And just to give a very simple example, when we talk about Tesla, we only think about cars, right? This is like what they do. That's like their mission, to change the car industry. But it's actually not really true. They do a lot of other stuff. One of the second biggest product they have is solar panels. And that's has nothing to do with cars, right? This is like a totally different industry. Yeah, both of them are around energy, but it's completely different. So if I go back to what I say about resilience, the point here is that if you're driven by mission, it doesn't, in some way, you can kind of do anything you want to do that makes sense as part of that mission. You're not only chasing for the car industry and try to reinvent that, you actually can do that in different industries as well. So it's kind of you're becoming much more resilient once you are looking at the world, at your business opportunities from that point of view. You are not only making cars, you can do much more other things. And the third point is the North Star, all right? And again, the same example with Google, that if you have this use case of Google food truck or Google food truck tracker, it's kind of obvious what you need to do. And as a business people, we know that we sit in meetings and we kind of need to make a decision. And how do you do that? What guides you through the process? So, and of course, it's not that I'm saying don't look at the numbers, don't try to make sense out of the business. The first question you need to ask is, what is the mission? What is driving me? And once you know that, I can assure you that during those meetings, when you sit with the rest of the managers and you decide about the strategy for the next 3 to 6 months, that will be just easier for you, because the answer will be just there. You know what to do.
There is something even bigger. And again, I'm looking from the human point of view, because the question always, and you know, that's marketing, is what moves people? How do you change people behavior? You have a new product, you want them to ditch the old one and move to your product. And it's all about understanding human behavior and motivations and desires. The biggest differentiator in the future, and even now I will say, is culture in companies. Because technology, product, innovation becomes cheaper and cheaper and cheaper over time. With cloud, with offshore, with the internet, online courses, education is moving online. It become more accessible to more people and more cheaper. So the production and innovation is not where the edge in most industries. One of the examples is the open source. 70% of the technology of the internet is open source. Tesla released all their patents. Allbirds, sustainable shoe, release all their patents. They understand that obtaining the knowledge is not the edge. So what is the edge? The edge is to build a culture that is so strong that and vibrant and attracts the right people and customers and partners and investors. And that's hard. Hard to build connection. It's hard to build trust with people. It's hard to be transparent. This is what's hard today. Because if I'm a developer and I can work anywhere, you know, after the pandemic, everything is remote. I can move countries. I can do whatever I want. I'm the talent. I'm the consumer. I can, in a click, buy whatever I want with Amazon and get it the next day. What is the advantage? Technology? That's hard to compete there, especially when Amazon is everywhere. So if you build a culture around purpose, values, that connects people emotionally, why are you doing what you're doing? What is the future that you are promising? That can cut through a lot of noise and build trust with your audience, with your customers, with your partners, employees. And that always was the case, by the way. When people gather and belong to a tribe that's very close and strong connections, they can survive any hard time, let's say. And for me, the human point of view of mission driven, that's the most important. It's embedded in our way of thinking and living.
I just want to add something on top of that, if I may. There is a very common question when you hire people. I had a lot of experience with that. One of the questions you ask them, how do you choose the next job? What's your criteria? I'm talking about the IT industry, not something else. And very surprisingly, like one might think that the first, the most important thing is the salary, right? Like how much money I'm going to make. That's like the most important thing. If it's 100 grand or 200 or whatever.
Yeah. But
surprisingly, the numbers and also from personal experience, I can tell you that it's not true. Backed with statistics, the first reason is actually you have two of those. The salary is number three or four, depends how you look at that. It's either purpose. People say, I want to feel like I'm making a change. I'm part of something. I'm part of a tribe, of a culture that I believe in. And the second thing is personal growth. So there is no money there. So when a person, and again, I want to just scope that to IT because I don't know the rest of the industry, how that works there, but the first two reasons for picking the next job, the two criteria that you look at are not related to money. So it's not profit driven that drives us as human beings. This is just plain and simple as that.
I love that point. I want to tackle it from a different angle. So when we touched about how we're wired as human beings, right? And I want to talk about the consumer or the buyer. It doesn't have to be a consumer. When you manage as a company to transcend beyond being just a product, transcend beyond being just a company that delivers a certain service, and you become something more value-based, a mission, you get identified with a certain struggle, for example, to save the planet or to move us all from gasoline to electric vehicles. Suddenly, the people who buy from you also remember you in a better way. Why does it happen? It's because how our brains are built. We have the reptilian mind that helps us go through life by filtering a lot of things. And that reptile mind is going through the supermarket. He sees all the ads on Instagram and Facebook. And it's very tired because it has to make a lot of decisions. It's exposed to a lot of noise. So it has to filter out. How is it going to filter out? By being mission-driven, you actually help your buyers remember you. Because they say, okay, Patagonia or Oatly or Tesla or even Nike in a way are not just a clothing company or a company that sells me something. They are a company that lead a certain struggle. I remember them this way. I remember to buy from them. And when I buy from them and I talk to other people, it also says something about me. So I get my status, sort of my status is reaffirmed and I get a dopamine kick from that. So it's also in a very deep psychological, neurological level, it impacts how we buy from those brands. And it also means a lot for the future profitability and growth of these brands.
Yeah. And, you know, it reminds me the Abraham Maslow pyramid, the hierarchy of needs. And we pass through the basics. You know, we have food, we have shelter. Most of the people in the Western world are safe. And now it's about other things. It's about love and belonging, self-actualization. And that's what people are seeking. And you see the Generation Z, the millennials, seeking for products and jobs that have meaning. Because everything is the, you know, the wealth of choice. You have, if you go to the supermarket, and it's a good example, or Amazon, for each typical product, you have so many choices. And that's called the decision fatigue. How do you choose? You go to Etsy, you have for each category thousands and hundreds of thousands of results. In Google, we're talking about millions. Now, how do you choose? It's impossible by features and benefits and pricing. It's tedious. So if you able to connect to people based on belonging, on esteem, on self-actualization, who they are, what do they believe, this is very strong because you build a bond. And that's part of our next topic. This is building a community. People start to feel the same, think the same. That's called cult or religion, doesn't matter, but it's that's how we are wired. I think that's the point. And being a mission-driven, it's talking to the wired mind. We call it the reptilian mind. that seeks for belonging, for safety, for danger, and suddenly say, okay, this is for me. And it's not something that you think about, you just feel it. So the human part of it, if you look from financial, from building a company, attracting talent, resources, the future, being mission driven, and tackling sustainability and solving big problems, that's the future. Everything else is going to be noise. It's going to be hard to resonate if you only sell a product in the future. It's already hard now because you have so many options, but it's going to be harder and harder. And that's what the audience is going to seek for. And I think that's also why the majority of millennials are going to Instagram before taking any buying decision, because they're looking for the stories. They're looking for the emotion. They're looking for who they are. They need the trust. They want the transparency. And this is what's hard today. The trust, the transparency, the value-based. That's what, and that's why we opened this podcast, to say this is the future. That's where we should move, all of us. That's where we should put our money, our effort, our lives, because we also have a big problem to solve. So in the end, mission-driven, it's necessary, I will say. Which leads to the next question that we have is, probably there are some downsides, right? It's not only unicorns and gold and beautiful mountains.
Yes. So on that, that is an amazing story. So we love talking about Oatly and this company, obviously. We have a lot of admiration for them. And apparently Oatly, when they started their journey, they not only decided to lead the struggle of sustainability, they also wanted to, they had a villain. And that villain was the dairy companies, because the claim was, you got to ditch milk. It's bad for the environment, CO2 emissions, and milk is not made for humans. It's made for baby cows. So it's a waste. It's not for you. Now, there's a Swedish dairy lobby. It's called LRF Mjölk or something like that. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it correctly. And they sued Oatly for disparaging cow milk. People got offended. That's what they said. And, you know, it's really amazing story, because Oatly was a small company and they were getting sued by the Swedish dairy lobby, which was much more powerful and had resources and lawyers. But Oatly took a very interesting approach. And that's what being mission-driven means. They said, you know what? We know what our mission is. We're fearless. We're not going to back down. They used this lawsuit and they talked about it in all media outlets, portraying the milk lobby as this Goliath, the evil man, trying to attack them as David, the sweet company that is leading the struggle and trying to change the world, the little guy. And the public really bought into that, and that made them grow even further. So not only did that lawsuit didn't work for the Swedish dairy lobby, it also had a reverse effect. It actually fueled the growth of Oatly, which is huge and amazing.
Yeah, I think that that's the point of being mission-driven. It's not like you pick up an industry and you attack them for no reason. Mission-driven means something is not working right now, it's fucked up, and we're going to fix it. By fixing it and going against the status quo, it means you're going to... Some people are going to get angry. They're going to be pissed off. And maybe a lawsuit or whatever. But it's not about being nice. But it's in the opposite. It's not about trying to annoy someone. But in the end, a mission-driven is educating the market. Is about telling stories. It's about talking something that it's a big problem. And you want to solve it. And by talking about this problem, you're attacking the status quo. And that's Patagonia saying, vote the assholes out. That's ditch milk. And if you compare it to Tom's Shoes and other, we call it value-based companies. Chobani, it's a yogurt company. They're great companies, really. They're not making a stand. Even Nike, which I don't think they are mission driven, they had some commercials lately that were super related to the movement Black Lives Matter and supporting some athletes. They made a stand, but they can do it because people believe in them. I don't think Adidas can do that or Reebok. They have this kind of relationship and trust with their audience that they can say certain things that might offend some groups of people. But that's because they believe in something and they are willing to sacrifice profit or status in the market. And that's more important than revenue. And I think that's the point of being mission-driven. You are fearless. You build trust, transparency with your audience. And it means you're not for everyone. And that's a very unique point of view because most of the companies don't want to have some kind of a political view or a statement because they're afraid of losing the market. And that's not true for a mission-driven company. So you can easily identify what is mission-driven, what does it mean, what does it require from a company. You can call it downsides, but also why it's so important, why it's required. And in the end, I think it's also very connected to our next topic, what is a community? Why should companies build communities?
Amir, is there anything else you want to add?
I always love to summarize at the end. And just as a reminder, we started the conversation by asking, what is it? And we have the profit-driven companies, which is like the one-on-one on a business book. How do you, what's the basic drive of a company? And we have the mission-driven companies, which are companies that are driven by something completely different than profits. And we talked a bit about the why, and just to name 3 points, it's about the resilience, guiding the company, a North Star, and the purpose, a feeling of a purpose. And as you just mentioned, there is also the dark side of that. And there are more stories that we can maybe expand in later podcasts. And I think that's my summary for today. Great talk.
Yeah, I think one final point is that when a company is mission-driven, you see it, right? You see it when you buy their milk cartons, when you go to their website, when you check the labels on the clothing. You see it everywhere. They can't hide it. It's bursting out of every point of interaction, internally, externally, with employees, investors, customers, stakeholders, doesn't matter. You see it. And, you know, all it takes is one look. You can go to websites, do it as an exercise, look at companies, and you can see if they're mission-driven or just have a mission statement. And I guarantee you that doing that exercise will help you rethink how you approach this topic as a founder or even as an investor. So I love the talk that we had today. I think, like Sharon said, it's a great conduit for next week. We're going to talk about community. And I think it's also linked because we said that what defines a community, not to get into it too deeply, but just in one sentence, is that that community has a certain mission. So our community is mission driven. And we're going to talk about that connection and look also into what does it mean to be a community.